Now, in India, we have formed a national transport policy. Of course, this was formed in 1980, but to a great extent, it was lying dormant for a very long time. And it has slowly starting getting importance now. And the importance has been given to inland waterway transport, especially in the interior areas of India, movement of international goods and also local domestic goods. Inland waterway is proving to be a very good form and a very cheap form of movement of goods, so that transportation and transaction cost can be reduced. It is helping to give basic infrastructure for development of all inland waterway transport. And what are these types of infrastructure? That is a fairway or a navigational channel with desired width and depth. You know, ships to move, when cargo is loaded, it goes deep down. And therefore, water level should be available up to that depth so that the ship moves only on water, it does not touch the ground level over there. So it has got to have a basic minimum depth. Depth also, width also is required to be maintained based on the type of the ship involved for the inland waterways. They have got to have navigational aids for safe navigation in the inland waterways. Terminals for berthing of vessels, loading, unloading of cargo, and providing interface with road and railway movement. Because such type of railway, inland waterway can be made operational by having road movement of the goods coming to that waterway station or rail movement coming to the waterway station. This National Transport Policy Committee, they considered the following waterways as having the potential for declaring as a national waterway. The first one was the Sundarban area. Now, this Sundarban area is in West Bengal and partly connected with Bangladesh also. This particular entire area has got a number of small rivulets going from the Ganga River and the Brahmaputra River, combining, forming different types of rivulets. And so it has got a very big scope. The Mahanadi River, the Narmada River, these are the longest rivers in India. The Mandovi River, Zuari River, and Kumbharjuwa Canal in Goa. Now, these three canals and rivers in Goa are being used to a very great extent by movement of all mined goods. There are a lot of mines in the hinterland of Goa, and all goods, bulk raw material, which are mined from such mines, are being moved through these particular rivers coming to Goa for loading on international vessels, foreign going vessels. So they are being used to a very vast extent, and therefore there is a potential for them to increase further as international waterways, as inland movement of goods. The Inland Waterways Authority of India has come into existence for development and regulation of all inland waterways for shipping purposes. They undertake projects for development and maintenance of inland waterway transport system, all the infrastructure on national waterways, through various grants which are granted by the government of India. And to give you some small examples of the presently working inland waterways, some of the examples would be, we have got number one, National Waterway number one. That is a number of oversized, over-dimensioned cargo consignments. They are carried for the National Thermal Power Corporation projects at Varanasi from Kolkata port, and also tourist vessels are being operated, especially the Pandav cruise vessels from Kolkata to Varanasi and Vivada cruise vessels from Kolkata to Murshidabad. This is through the Ganges Ganga River movement from Kolkata to Varanasi, and now it has been extended to Allahabad also. This is being used to a very large extent on carrying oversized, over-dimensional cargo. Initially, it was being done only for the National Thermal Power Project. But as of today, they are moving containerized cargo from the gateway port at Kolkata or Haldia, right, to dry ports in Varanasi. Varanasi has got dry port. Allahabad has got dry ports. So moving to those dry ports, containerized international cargo also is being carried by this National Waterway Highway number one. International Container Transshipment Terminal at Valarpadam in Cochin with Roro and Lolo. Roll on, roll off. Load on, load off. Has created tremendous potential for transport of containerized cargo through National Waterway number 3. So these are the two most important ones which were operational since a very long time for international movement of goods. First local movement, now international movement of goods. If you look at the various rivers, you have the Ganga Bhagirathi, or the entire Hooghly River system between Haldia, that is Sagar Island, and Allahabad, a total distance of 1,620 kilometers. International Waterways Authority of India is carrying out various development works on the waterway for improving its navigability. Today, smaller vessels are moving through this river waterway, but slowly depth is being increased, width is being increased, so that navigability in this entire section of 1,620 kilometers is increased for larger vessels also. Several power companies have initiated action for setting up thermal power projects and therefore extension movement of ODC cargo. Imported coal, etc., are expected to move in this stretch, and that is why a fast-track development work is going on. At present, the waterway is also being used by tourism vessels, which are operated by IWAI, that is Inland Waterway Authority of India. Of course, very shortly, you will find that private parties are also moving tourist vessels in this entire region, because Allahabad originally was a very good tourist center, but today Varanasi is becoming a far bigger tourist center, and ship movement, sea movement, or river movement would be allowed during this, in this stretch of movement, especially for attracting tourists. Important cities which are connected in this region are Haldia Port, that is Sagar Island, Kolkata, Murshidabad, Varanasi, Allahabad. These are the four important cities which are connected by this particular Hooghly River system. And this is National Waterway number 1. We look at number 2, National Waterway number 2. Here you have got the Brahmaputra River, which is having a length of 890 kilometers between Bangladesh border to Sadia. Now, for your information, the Brahmaputra River is originating in the Himalayan region in China and passing through some of the areas of even Nepal and coming down directly to Assam region as a very big river and entering Bangladesh border. It comes directly, goes into Bangladesh. And this entire stretch is now being used for transportation of goods as National Waterway number 2. IWAI is carrying out various development works on the waterways for improving its navigability between Bangladesh border and Dibrugarh. Dibrugarh is one of the biggest cities in Assam region. So entire navigability is being improved in this particular stretch. At present, the waterway is being used by vessels of the government of Assam, Central Inland Waterway Transport Corporation, Border Security Force, certain tourism vessels, and some private operators are also working in this particular system. Of course, with the development stages being expanded to a very great extent, in the long run, this transport system is expected to give a very big boost, a tremendous boost to the development of various infrastructure projects in the entire northeastern region. It may also connect to the land border with Myanmar in the long run. National Waterway number 3, that is NW3. This is at Cochin. Kochi port is an international gateway port in the vicinity of Cochin city, which is having very narrow and congested road. That entire area is having backwaters. And because of those backwaters, land areas are very small. That is why the road are very small, narrow, congested roads. And therefore, the waterway system has got a greater importance in this particular area. The cargo which is transiting through National Highway number 49, that is Madurai to Kochi, and National Highway number 47 from South Kerala has to pass through a very congested Kochi city roads to reach Kochi port, that is Cochin port. So there is always a traffic jam, and that traffic jam maybe delays the movement of international cargo by 24 to 48 hours also. And therefore, the ideal transport mode over here would be to use National Waterway number 3, that is the waterway channel, for moving the cargo from Willingdon Island to Vallarpadam. Here, the inland waterway is connecting these two cities, which are bypassing the congested roads. There is tremendous potential for transportation of containerized cargo through this National Waterway number 3. And this waterway can provide connection between Kottayam port to Cochin port, Cochin airport, seaport connectivity through Periyar River. Periyar River is again a subsidiary over there. And this provides a connectivity from airport to seaport, that is Cochin airport to Cochin seaport. That is where this National Waterway number 3 has gained importance. Kottayam port is the only organization in South Kerala which is directly contributing to inland waterway transport as far as National Waterways number 3 is concerned. And this port will use the inland waterway system, that is NW3, and the road from Kottayam to Cochin port to ship its container. That means by road the goods would come to Kottayam, and from Kottayam it would move by sea transport, by river transport, that is through National Waterway number 3, to come to Cochin port for directly being loaded onto the foreign going vessels. The southbound import containers may also be transshipped from Vallarpadam. That is, Vallarpadam is having an internal container transport system directly up to Kottayam ICD and various other water bridge locations along this National Waterway 3. So there is a multiple type of connectivity as far as this Cochin or Kerala is concerned. Goods moved by road from Alleppey and Quilon can also be directed through the Kottayam ICD to reduce the road congestion and cost of import-export trade. They will save time of 24 to 48 hours and also reduce the transaction cost. With this cost of transporting containerized cargo from Cochin to central Kerala will be reduced at least 40 to 50% reduction in transportation cost is a very big leeway, and that is being achieved by this National Waterway number 3. That is the plus point being given by this National Waterway transportation. Here there have been separate, but there's a lot of development work going on as far as National Waterway number 3 is concerned. I would say connected with Goa and Kerala and Hooghly, Kolkata. These are the three most important ones operating on a very vast scale, giving a lot of backup relief. Here, separate berths have been built at inland container transportation at Vallarpadam for small barges to enable direct transshipment of containers to barges from Vallarpadam. Containers need not be brought to Vallarpadam barge terminal to Rajiv Gandhi container terminal to be dispersed by road. It can move by barges, small barges also. Government has notified Vallarpadam as a SEZ center, special economic zone. That means it is a foreign territory. And therefore, an industrial cluster with thrust on energy-related units focusing on value-added exports are planned in this particular area. It's a very vast area. A modern logistic park is also planned in the proximity, where all supply chain consolidation, movement and warehousing activities will take place. I think by the time you start studying this, this may have already started operations, as ICTT at Vallarpadam in Cochin port area has tremendous potential for transport of containerized cargo through National Waterway number 3. When we look at the other national waterways, you've got National Waterway number 4, that is total length of 1,095 kilometers from Kakinada to Puducherry, that is Pondicherry, this stretch of canals and Kaluvelli tank. Then Bhadrachalam, Rajamundri stretch of River Godavari, and Wazirabad to Vijayawada stretch of River Krishna River. Next, you have got National Waterway number 5. As I told you, the first three ones are very important and having a large movement, but the other ones are smaller varieties. National Waterway number 5 is total length having 623 kilometers. This is a Talcher Dhamra stretch of River Brahmani, Geokhali Charbira stretch of East Coast Canal, Charbatia Dhamra stretch of Matai River, Mangaldeep and Paradeep stretch of Mahanadi River deltas. This is the eastern region connecting to Paradeep port. And next you have got the National Highway number 6, total distance of 121 kilometers. That is from Lakhipur to Banga stretch on the river Barak River. This is the smallest of the entire national waterways. Incidentally, we are having further development process going on. Even Godavari River you may find coming into national waterway very shortly. But they require more infrastructure projects to be built within them. At the moment existing, these are working on a very large scale and gaining importance to a very large extent. Now, one of the most important factors as far as your sea shipment of goods are concerned is a complicated document being asked by shipping companies, which is known as a VGM document. That is a verified gross mass. Verified gross mass means that container carrying cargo having weightage and volume comparison has got to be given by means of this particular document. As a background, I'll explain to you why this has come into play. In the past, there have been so many accidents in the mid-sea, especially of large container ships, where the entire ship has tilted. And it was found over there that containers carrying a higher weight of cargo were placed on top and lower weight having large volume placed at the bottom. Why? Because shippers were misdeclaring the gross weight of cargo put in their containers. Now, if a higher weight is put at the top and more weight is at the top of the ship, definitely the ship will tilt because weight has got to be at the bottom. To stabilize the movement of the ship, higher weight is required at the bottom and low weight and higher volume is required to be placed on the top. This is a planning being done by the stevedores of the shipping company. But they depend on the shipping bill, details mentioned on the invoice and shipping bill, which many cases the exporters used to not declare properly. A number of accidents in mid-sea of various ships have resulted in this particular finding. And therefore, this document is now being insisted upon by the shipping companies from all exporters and importers, especially exporters. Here, all discrepancy between the declared value and actual packed container weight, which has always been at a risk against safe transportation, has resulted in this document. Some fatal and tragic accidents were reported and inaccurate container weight declaration was pointed out as one of the main causes. And therefore, the International Convention for Safety of Life at Sea, short form SOLAS, the convention has addressed this problem to increase the safety during containerized transportation. And IMO, International Maritime Organization, decided the amendment of SOLAS, this regulation, to measure accurate packed container weight, which was called as container weight verification. And to enhance the compliance with SOLAS amendment, governments may issue their own regulations and guidelines. Mind you, this is an international convention. It became compulsory for international trade. But the government, in order to enforce it in their respective country, they also required to have their own regulation and guidelines to protect this situation. verified gross mass, VGM, is the total weight of a packed container. That means weight of the material, that is the net weight, plus weight of the packaging material involved, that becomes the gross weight, plus weight of the container carrying the total quantity of goods. This becomes the gross mass weight. And this gross mass weight has got to be verified by an organization and a verification certificate given to the shipping company. VGM includes packing and securing materials such as pallets, wires, containers, stair weight, etc., etc., all inclusive. And therefore, all containerized cargo shall have a VGM prior to loading of the goods on board the vessel. Nowadays, shipping companies have made it mandatory that at least 48 hours prior to the loading, VGM should reach their office so that they plan out which container to move to the dockyard first for loading on the vessel and which to move last. No provision or agreement may override or be in conflict with the obligation to abide by the amended SOLAS regulation. No country can provide any alternative solution, but they have got to follow the SOLAS regulation. And the amended entry came into force on 1st July 2016. From this day onwards, all exporters have got to file the VGM document before they can export their goods. All shippers required to submit the VGM of the packed containers to the carriers and or terminal operators prior to loading of the goods. This has become very compulsory. The basic principles of new SOLAS amendments, that is, before a packed container can be loaded onto a ship, its weight must be determined through actual weighing. A verified weight is a condition for loading a packed container onto the ship. It should not be theoretically, orally declared. No, the weight has got to be verified by getting a weighing certificate. No verified weight means no load container would not be loaded. Estimating the weight is also not permitted. Shippers must either themselves weigh the cargo physically or arrange for weighing of the packed container after the container is stuffed with the contents. And here SOLAS has given two permissible methods for weighing the cargo. Number one, and this is the most common method, weigh the packed container while it is being moved in the truck. Go to the weighbridge, weigh the container, take a certificate from the weighbridge operator. That's the most, that is the best concept being done now. Or weigh the cargo and other contents and add the tear mass of the container. That is, a shipper will have to first weigh his own cargo physically and then look to the tear weight of the container, and after adding the two, they can prepare the VGM. These are the two different methods. I would say today 90% of the cargo movement for export is via the first method. It is found to be the best method. Shippers may also rely on beneficial cargo owners or other forwarders who are properly derived weights using method one or two. That means who are regularly complying with these requirements. But ultimately, today SOLAS has said that shippers remain responsible for the verified weight. And shipper is defined as the party identified on the maritime carrier's bill of lading. Ocean bill of lading. governments have enforced tolerance limit, which does not relieve the shipper from obligation to provide verified weight obtained after physical weighing. Of course, lack of assigned shipper weight verification can be remedied by weighing the packed container at port or elsewhere. Yes, today the ICDs are having their own weighing bridges, etc., to weigh the container, packed container, subject to the carrier and port terminals to agree on how such situations will be handled. It's a very difficult process. It entails additional infrastructure to be put in place, having a certified authority to certify the VGM. Government implementation here, commercial parties need to understand and arrange for compliance with national as well as local requirements. That is, certification and documentation. Why, ultimately the shipper would be responsible for that. SOLAS Convention is applicable as a global law, not any specific country's law, but as a global law, and all countries having international trade facility have got to follow this law. Thank you.